trust that you all would pray for me as I stand before you for just a little while. Over the past few weeks, we've dealt with the issues of life and death. We've dealt with the resurrection and the final destination of the sheep and goats. There are only two ultimate ends, heaven and hell. And there are only two groups involved. There's sheep and goats. They're God's children and those that are not. The righteous, the wicked, the just, the unjust. But we did not and have not in this series anyway talked about how one gets to be in either group. We know that there are two groups. But how do you get into one or the other? The scriptures are very clear. When there are only ultimately two groups, the sheep of his pasture and those that are not. All those that are not of his sheep are termed by many different terms. They're called goats. They're called the wicked. They're called the children of disobedience. They're called the children of wrath. But only those that are in Christ are those that are his children and his sheep. First of all, I want to talk about the categorization of things and people. God describes and is very clear many times in the scriptures that all have sinned and are under sin, conceived in sin. That covers everyone. It covers all of humanity. And because we are in that category, every person is in that category. Every person ever conceived is in that category. I don't care how old they were when they died or how young they were when they were taken home or died. Sin is reigning. Every person is under sin. Paul dealt with this very specifically in Romans chapter 5. And he says that, I'm sorry, in chapter 3. He deals with it in chapter 5 too. But in chapter 3, he says that this is a universal condemnation of all men. He says, what then? Are we better than they? No. No and no wise. He's talking about him being a Jew, being better than a Gentile. No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. There is, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. What Paul's got under consideration there, and what the Bible speaks of very clearly throughout, is that all are under sin. What does it mean to be under sin? It means that you are under its influence. It means you are under its rule. You're subject to it and a servant of it, or to it. We're subjects to it. Not just subject into you might or might not. We are subjects of it. It reigns over us. Thanks be to God, it only reigns until death, though. Now, the Bible categorizes people in many different ways in the Scriptures, doesn't it? It categorizes people, God does, by, this is one way to categorize people in the Scriptures, when it talks about Jews and Gentiles. There's only two groups in that, isn't it? You are either a Jew, and if you're not a Jew, you are a Gentile. You belong to one group or other. There's no other group out there. I want to talk about God's demographics today. Y'all know what demographics are. Merriam-Webster describes demographics. One way that it describes demographics is that it's a group of people that has a particular set of qualities. We know that this is true, don't we? I mean, anytime you fill out any form, anytime you apply for any kind of government assistance, or anytime you apply for anything almost nowadays, they want to know your age, they want to know your race, they want to know your gender, they want to know your social income, your family income, your personal income, they want to know everything about you, they want to know the region in which you live, they want to know everything about you, what age range you are. They want to know what hair color you've got, they want to know what eye color you've got. Just look on your driver's license, and they want to know how much you weigh. Those are all demographics, aren't they? God, the Bible has many demographics in it. Jew and Gentile is a universal demographic. It's only two groups. There is no other. And y'all know when you fill out those forms, used to be those forms were simpler to fill out because they only had white or Caucasian, black or African American, and maybe you had Latino, or maybe you had that. And then there was a box that said other. If you didn't fall into one of those categories, you could always click other. Now you look at them, and they've got all kinds of choices for you to put down on there. And we give out demographics where I work for all, you know, medical demographics, and we want to know everything about them too. And religion is even one of them, and sometimes it'll have your main two, Protestant and Catholic and other, you know. And then one time we got one demographic back in this mother filled it out, and it said religion, and she said yes. I thought that was great. Yes. Yes, I'm religious. But God's got a bunch of demographics, doesn't He? We've already talked about some of them, Jew and Gentile, sheep and goat, just and unjust, righteous, wicked. There are a lot of ways to categorize or describe people. The groups that I want to deal with today are those that are sheep and goats, the wicked, the righteous, the just and the unjust, vessels of mercy versus vessels of wrath, those that are born of the flesh or born of the spirit. Y'all see where we're going today? So we've got, the Bible has a lot of different descriptions of the same group, doesn't it? Now, my demographic when I was born was that I was born a white male. That was my demographic when I was born. I mean, there were other ones based on, you know, whatever color my eyes were and how long I was and how much I weighed. But this demographic I got when I was born, and I didn't have anything to do in deciding whether I was a male or female, bond or free, Jew or Gentile. I didn't have anything to do with that, did I? I just was. Now, I want y'all to think about what demographic you fit in. I want to characterize myself and give my demographic right now. Not only am I a white male, but I am a father. I am a son. I am a husband. I am an uncle. I am a grandfather. Hallelujah. I am also a friend. I am, to some people I'm not. I am also a trainer, and I'm also a minister of the gospel. I am a lot of things, aren't I? And more things than that. You think about what demographic you fit into. How many things you are. Now, some of these demographics I got by birth. Some of them I got by calling. Some of them I got by work. Some of them I worked for. I worked to be a trainer. I worked to be a therapist. I had to go to school and study and do all those things to become a therapist. Okay? I had to be called to become a real minister of the gospel, if indeed I am. That calling had to come from God for me to be a God-called minister. That's not something that I worked for in order to receive the calling, but I worked to advance it or to edify that gift that was given and to manifest and to use that gift. I worked for that part of it, but I didn't work for the calling, you understand. Some things I was born with, some things I worked for, and some things just came upon me because I was born or either called. Now, you think about your demographics. What things you got by birth or are by birth and what you worked for. Who helped you get the things that you worked for? And who gave you the things by birth that you didn't work for? Now, the Bible speaks of a lot of different demographics. But the most important group that we need to understand is the group that belongs and is described as being in Christ. Y'all get that? That is a group of people that are in Christ. Now, let's see how one acquires such a demographic. How do you acquire being in Christ? How do you get to have that demographic? The Bible is very clear that you get to be in this demographic in, let's just start in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Who did the blessing? God did. Who did He do them in? In heavenly places, in Christ. And where was it? It was in heavenly places, in Christ. And according, so these blessings are according to something. According as He hath chosen us in Him. Who are we chosen in? In Christ. Who did that choosing? God did. He chose us in Him. When did He choose us in Christ? Before the foundation of the world. That's before there ever was even a man. He chose you in Christ before He even created the world. In Adam, He chose you in Him. Now, that's pretty plain, but let's go to some other places and figure out how you got into Christ. Let's figure out how you got into that demographic. Ephesians 1 and 3. Now, let's move on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse, let's see where I want to start. Verse 30. But of Him, who's He talking about? Well, let's back up. He's talking about God in 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. So who's under consideration here? Who's the subject of all these sentences? God is. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Whose presence? God's presence. But of Him. Who are we talking about now? Of who? Who's Him? Say it out loud. God. But of God are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That's pretty plain. How'd you get into Christ? You got into Christ of Him. Of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. These are God's demographics, folks. These are not mine. I didn't work for this. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Here we go. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. All right. Verse 13. I'm having to start in the middle of some of these things that I wish I could explain further, but we'd never get finished today. He says in verse 13, he says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Who did the choosing then? God did. When did he do this? From the beginning, it says, hath chosen you to salvation. Who chose the salvation? God did. Did you choose the salvation? Did you choose to be in this demographic? You could not choose to be in this demographic as far as being having the characteristics of the Spirit. You didn't choose that, friend. God chose that. God sanctified you, and He did that by His own purpose and grace to the praise of the glory of His grace. Now, so we keep... There are so many other places where I could go to prove that God did all these things by His own power, by His own will, and His own purpose. But we'd be here all day. But one is sufficient, but I gave you three. Now, there are many other scriptures that prove that God did this. That God is the chooser and the father of His children. That's God's demographic. He's the God and Father. He's our God. He's our Father. He's God of all creation. And He's God of you and I, of those that are in Christ. Now, so he keeps on going. They were His elect before the world was, but something else was part of this demographic, wasn't it? Something had to happen for these people that were chosen in Him and that were sanctified in Christ Jesus. Something else had to happen. These children, they had to be born again, didn't they? These elect people that God chose before the foundation of the world had to be the elect. They had to be born again. Now, how do you get born again? That's a valid question, isn't it? If all the elect had to be born again, who did that? Who does that? Well, that's amen, brother. God does it. Now, Jesus, since the Spirit of God is what borns us again. Now, let's go. I'm going to go to several different places. All right, to prove it, John 1:1. Who borns us again? John 1:11. That's the gospel according to John. He says he was in the world, and the world was made by him. Who's he talking about? You? He's not talking about you. He's talking about God and Jesus Christ. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Now that's pretty plain, isn't it? He gave them power to become the sons of God. Okay, Brother Paul, then they've got the power to become a son. They've got the power. He gave them the power. He gave them something that they could or couldn't do. Well, let's keep reading. Because that's not what that says. Sometimes you need to read on to get the fullness of something, don't you? But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, comma. Even to them that believe on His name. Now that's a separator. That's a condition, right? That has to be met. So we're not talking about unbelievers here, we're talking about believers, aren't we? So God's already separated a bunch of folks out, hadn't He? To them, even to them that believe on His name. And these people that believe on His name, which were born. So these people were born, weren't they? These people that believed on His name were born, weren't they? Now, and they were born not of blood, were they? Now, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. So these people that believed, the basis of their belief had to be their birth. But it wasn't their natural birth. All you got by your natural birth was being a sinner. Not in the spiritual birth. Now the spiritual birth, it doesn't come by blood. It doesn't come from your blood kin. Let's say Sonia and I are born again children of God. And we have our firstborn child, Hannah. And then we have secondborn child, Drew. Just because Sonia and I are born again children of God does not mean that that born againness is passed or spiritual life is passed to our children. All they got from us was the natural part of sin and death. That's what they got. They got sin from us. We conceived them in sin. They didn't get any spiritual nature from us. So, blood didn't do it. Now, these people that believed were born. But they weren't born by blood. They were born, but they weren't born by the will of the flesh. That means that they had not the will in their sinful nature to be born of God. They had not the will. They had not the care. It wasn't their pleasure. They didn't want it. It wasn't their desire. It could not be their desire to be born from above and receive a spiritual birth by the flesh. It's not possible. But these people that believed were born. But they weren't born of the will of man. That means that they weren't born because somebody else wanted them to be born of the Spirit. That's not how you get born. You can't pray for somebody that you think is a goat and they automatically turn into a sheep because you prayed for them. Or because you want them to be. These people that believe have to be born and were born, it says, of God. So God did the borning. God did the making alive. God did that. God did that being born again. Now, here we're going to go on over John 3 and 6. We can turn that over about Nicodemus. And Jesus enters into a conversation with him. And he says, and I don't want to go all through it, but I want to get this part out of it in verse 6. Or verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Jesus separated the two, didn't he? He says, you got your natural birth from your mother, but you got your spiritual birth from heaven above. You didn't get that from your mama. What you got from your mama and daddy is flesh. That's all you got. That's how you get to be put in the children of wrath category. I'm getting ahead of myself again. But you got into the born again category by the Spirit of God. By being born again or anew. Those that are a new creation, they have this new birth. It's not the old birth. It's the new birth. Now, and that comes from God. And then I want to talk about this in 1 Peter. You see, there are countless places to go to prove all these things. But again, I'm just going to give you three. 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, in verse 18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." So the conversation that we have by our earthly fathers is vain, isn't it? Vain. "But with the you weren't redeemed with those things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So it was foreordained before the foundation of the world that he would be manifest to do this. But he was manifest in these last times for you. Listen to this. Who by him. Who's the him? Who's the him? Christ. Who by Christ do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned or real love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again. Not of corruptible seed from your mother and father on earth, but of incorruptible. Where's the incorruptible seed? It's not on earth, brethren and sisters. It's from heaven. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, this word of God is not talking about the words that are typed in this Nelson Bible that I'm reading from this morning. It's not talking about the King James Version or NIV or any other written word of God. This is talking about the Logos, the eternal Son of God, the Word of Life. It's talking about Him, and that is how you were born again, by Him, not by hearing the words that are printed on these papers. Brethren, that's how you get born again, and that's... It only takes one proof, but I gave you three. Now, let's move on. But when were we born again? We've hinted at it already a little bit. But when were we born again? I mean, if we're going to be in this demographic, it'd be nice to know when that happened. Okay? Now, we were elect before the foundation of the world, weren't we? We were elect in Christ before the foundation of the world, but it took us to being born again, and we know where that born again comes from, but when does it come? The Bible's pretty plain on this too. Was this... Now, I'm not going to talk to you in terms of what the time of your life that you were born again, but your position when you were born again. Does that make sense? I'm not going to say, oh, well, God borns everybody again when he's 5 or when he's 25 or when he's 100. I don't care when it is. We've got Bible examples of one being born of God when he was still yet in his mother's womb. That's John the Baptist. Then we've got the thief on the cross, an unlikely character we talked about before, who would be born again when he was born again on the cross, and no man preached to him, he didn't say a prayer, and he wasn't baptized. Hallelujah. That's not how it comes. And then we've got the Apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, an unlikely character to be born again. You see somebody like that with your natural eyes, you say, that man ain't got no hope. Friends, it's not about hope. You're right, he didn't have any expectation then. But God gave him some when he born him again on that road to Damascus. I want to talk about when we're born again. Not in terms of time, but in terms of condition or position. Now, I want to talk about this in Romans chapter 5. Man, the Bible's full of all this stuff. Do y'all know that? You Bible readers are sitting there thinking of other places that I haven't gone to prove what I just said. Now, chapter 5, Verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. When did He die for the ungodly? Did He wait until you were strong enough? Did He wait until you had the ability to be born again? No. You were without strength. That means you were totally weak. Not just that you were weak, but that you were without strength. Without strength means that you were flaccid, that you were paralyzed. You had no ability to move when God did that. Now, He's not done. For when we were yet without strength, helpless, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Who did Christ die for? Did He die for the righteous man? No, sir. He died for the ungodly. The ungodly! Now, He keeps going, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. That's talking about from our perspective. If we think somebody's righteous enough, you see it on the battlefield, people will throw themselves on a grenade for the good of their company. Alright? Scarcely that'll happen. Most of them just hide up under a rock. But God, He says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. Some people will do it for a good man. They might dare to do it for a good man. He says, but God commended His love towards us. Who commended His love towards us? God did. Did we commend our love to God? Toward God? No, sir. This is a descending love, not an ascending one. Y'all get that? You didn't get born again because you loved God so much. It's because He loved you so much in a descending manner. His love, your love didn't go up to Him. His love came down to you first. And that's why you love Him. Because John says, why? Because He first loved us. Amen? Now, he says, but God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When did Christ die for you? It's when you were a sinner. Guess what? You still are. But you weren't good enough in order to make Him love you and set His love upon you. That love was a condescending love and all true love between men is that way. But God's love is pure. It comes down. And because of that, our love for Him ought to be returned to Him. So when? When is this? Alright. He says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Now, I got a lot of scriptures written down. He says, for if, when we were enemies, in verse 10, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Hold on. We're getting mouthfuls of stuff, aren't we? We're getting earfuls. We're getting mindfuls and heartfuls of stuff right now. He says, for if, when we were enemies, not only were you without strength and ungodly and a sinner, but you were an enemy of God when He sent that love down to you. And you were an enemy of God when He reconciled you back to Himself by Jesus Christ. I tell you, that's good stuff to me. You know what that means? That means God did the reconciling too. I didn't make it effective. God did that. Jesus did that when He died for me on the cross, paid the atoning sacrifice for my sins, and He offered Himself up to God, and God accepted His offering. Friends, that's when the breach was gapped. That's when your sins were covered, and that's when your sins were paid for. That's when the debt was owed that you owed
was paid by Christ, that's when that sacrifice and offering was accepted by God, and that's when your sins were covered and He took them out of the way and He nailed them to His cross, never to be remembered anymore. He separated them from Himself as far as the east is from the west. No more to be remembered forever. Hallelujah. Who did the reconciling? God did in Jesus Christ. I love that, don't you? That's the position that we were in when Jesus shed His love upon us. And I love that. I tell you what, who did it though? God did it. Jesus did it. You didn't do it. Now, He says, Ephesians 2 and 1. We are not going to get finished today, I don't think. You never get finished when you're talking about God. It says, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins." Who's the you? Is you. Who's the He? Christ. It's the Spirit. Hath He quickened. And when were you quickened? When you were dead in trespasses and in sins. You know, the Bible is pretty clear about how this comes about, isn't it? It's not that you have a gift offered and it's only profitable to you and it's only effective for you when you open it. That's not biblical. This is biblical. I'm telling you about the truth of God's Word, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. A dead man can't open anything. Amen. Now, I tell you what you can do after you've been born again. You have the ability then to please God, to live after the characteristics that He gave you, and you have the ability to learn and love more and open that great gift that He gave you and to explore and peruse His Word and to dig deep and dive deep in the Scriptures and to learn more about how much He loves you and that how much you can fashion your life after the life of Christ and become a disciple of His. Friends, that's opening a great gift right there. Now, I tell you, then we've got this. Let's keep going. Wherein? He says, you were dead. He quickened you when you were dead in trespasses and sins. Semicolon. Wherein, means in dead and sins, in times past, ye walked. That's a dead man walking right there. Ye walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The difference between disobedient children and children of disobedience. Y'all think about that. Among whom also we all had our conversation. Paul's putting himself in that demographic, isn't it? The demographic that he's talking about here is being dead in trespasses against God and in sins against God, and yet you are alive by your natural mother and father. But you're not spiritually alive because He hadn't born you again yet. But yet, these people... And he makes a staggering statement here. He says, among whom also we all had our conversation, that means our manner of life, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and, listen to this, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. When did He quicken you? He quickened you when you were a child of wrath. I tell you, there's no difference in the elect of God before they're born again than the non-elect as far as my vision and your vision. We look, we act, we smell, we do the same things that the wicked people do. When God chooses to born us again, that's our position. That's our condition when God sends His love upon us. When we're dead in trespasses and in sins, we're the children, by nature, friends, we're the children of wrath, even as others, when God sends His love down upon us and borns us again and gives us a new nature and makes us a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Then you have, you've been placed, my friends, into a different demographic. You've been placed into the demographic that says, I'm in Christ. As far as me knowing about it. As far as me living as one that's in Christ. I'm now in that demographic. I love that, don't you? That's the way that the Bible explains it. So I've talked about, one place is enough that I've talked to you about when you're born again. What condition we're born again in. But I gave you three. And there's more. I just gave you three. Now, obviously, we fit into several different demographics, don't we? We do. We were a child of wrath. He says we were that, even as others. We're still under sin, aren't we? We are. We're still sinners. Even when you're born again, you're still a sinner because you still possess that natural nature of man. How many of y'all are perfect? I mean, godly perfect. How many of y'all follow after the Spirit in every decision in your life, in every step that you take, in every thought you think, in every word you say, in everything you do? How many of you follow the Spirit perfectly? No hands are going up, so I'm guessing you don't do that. I don't either. You know why? Because we still fit in the demographic of being a natural man. We have that nature about us. So in God's demographic, you can say, man. Check that box. I'm a natural man. I check that box. Then over here he's got one that says in Christ. I can check that box too. That box overrides the other box. Hallelujah. It overrides it because that's more important. I didn't get to check that box because I worked for it. I got to check that box because I was born. That's how I got to check that box. I'm not the one that checked it anyway. God checked it for me. We got the flesh demographic from Adam and our earthly parents. But we got to be in that spiritual demographic by being born again. I tell you, Romans 5 and 1 Corinthians 15 describe this in great detail. I'm not going to go all into it. Romans 5 and 12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned and come short the glory of God. 5 and 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. 1 Corinthians 15, 22 says, for as in Adam all die, all those that are represented by Adam, every human being that ever has conceived will die. They all die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. All those that are represented by Christ shall be made alive. I want you to know that the greatest evidence and proof that you fit into the fleshly demographic is death.
Did y'all know that? You think about it. Some people say, if a person says, I'm not a sinner, and they die, they were wrong all along. Because death is the greatest proof that you're a sinner. However, the greatest proof that you are in Christ is that you've been born again. Amen? That's the greatest proof that you've been born again. And the greatest proof that you've been born again is that you possess the fruit of the Spirit. And the greatest proof that you possess that fruit is when you manifest that you possess that fruit in your discipleship. You know the ninefold fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance. I think I got them all. Maybe I missed one. Faith. Oh, I missed faith. Did I miss faith? Faith's a big one. All men have not faith. You get that when you're born again. So you can't get born again by the faith because you don't have faith in order to be born again. You see how solid that argument is. Natural man doesn't possess the ability to have faith. Now, God's demographic. God's got children all over this world, folks. You know it. He does. He's got children all over this world. I want to read you something. And after I talk about this, I'm going to close. So if God's got children all over the world, they must fit in God's demographic, right? God don't do things the way that we think He ought to do things. Some people think they're the only ones going. Do y'all know that? Some people think that God's got a little bitty number that's going. Some people think you got to be a member of a certain church or a certain society or a certain family. But I want to read you something. I wish I could read all of 4 and then go into 5. But I'm just going to start. I'm going to start in the 11th verse of chapter 4. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne, who I wonder who that is, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Y'all know this is a view into the throne room of God. Do y'all know that? This is what was revealed to John. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns
and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. What a vision. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And we shall, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. You know, that's God's demographics. He redeems whom He will. He redeems who He chose. He redeems by the power of Christ. And the ones that He redeems, He redeemed when they were sinners. He reconciled them when they were sinners. He born them again when they were sinners. And all of these people that He did, all those wonderful things, and the demonstration of His love, He did them out of every kindred. That means kind of people. All kinds of people. Not limited to different cultures. Not limited to families. Hallelujah. Not limited to nations. Not limited to tribes. And it's not limited to tongues or the language that you speak. I tell you what, God's demographics are so inclusive, based on the blood of Jesus Christ and His redemption of us by His blood. I tell you, He's so inclusive. God's plan, God's purpose of salvation in Christ Jesus was that He would secure every one of His, and that they would have not only union but communion with Him by His blood. And He redeemed us back to God out of all these nations. So that nation, that tongue, that language that you speak, that family that you were born into, that country that you were born into, that kinfolks that you have don't have anything to do with God's kind of demographics. God knows how to do it, and He'll take every one of them out of every one of the nation, kindred, tribe, people, tongue, and nation, all of them. God's got a people everywhere. Hallelujah. So if you're from a small place, small family, small church, small culture, rejoice. For God is not limited by our demographics. He's got His own. May His name be praised today and forevermore. If you feel to be in God's demographic, come and join the church today. And it'll be a blessing to you and an honor to Him. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.